Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I are excited about tonight's show because we have Erica Murray back on with us. And for those of you who have been listening with us for quite a while now, hopefully you were able to listen to her show last year and was just truly blessed by it. And you're here again to just hear some more awesome information from her. So before moving into the show, I want to remind you all that the chat line is open. So if you're listening online with us, remember you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to chat with us so that we can see your comment or question. You can do that now, tonight, or if you choose, you could just use the call-in number, which is 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. And it should also be listed online where you're listening from or the site there. You do have to select the number one if you do have a question or a comment when you're calling in. So you only have to do that if you do have a question or a comment, and you do it only at that time. So when you're ready, just select the number one. As I mentioned, Erica Murray is on with us, and we're going to move right into the show. Erica's just going to tell you a little bit about what she's been doing since. We'll probably bring you up to date on previously things that she was doing as well and what she's added to her list of things. And then we're going to get right into the show. So I hope you all have your questions, comments together, because here's the time to kind of get some insight on and from someone who is making things happen, who has stepped out and just making things happen. So with that being said, Erica, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us as much as you want. I have my pen and paper out, and I'm sure Tika does as well, so just have at it.
Right. Thank you so much, Tammy and Tika. I appreciate this opportunity once again, and really don't take it lightly, because I know you guys have a host of followers who supported you over the years that you guys have been doing this show. A little bit about what I've been doing since the last time I was here. You know, I released a book, CEO to the Power of You. I've gone on college tours with that, and it's been quite successful. And also just consulting with a number of individuals with their businesses and getting the proper frameworks in place for them to be profitable businesses and to expand and acquire things abroad. That has been what my year has been like in the past. And more recent, I'm focused on teaching the skills of economic development and entrepreneurship in an economy that doesn't seem to be working for many people. So that's where we are today. I'm really excited about that because I know that this is something that can take people from good to great, and that should always be our goal, to go from one level to the next, and we need to do that with the proper timing. It shouldn't really take us as long as we're learning, we're able to move in triple time. So I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I know that we're going to be talking about the economic development and entrepreneurship, so we'll get started. Tika, you want to give anything before we move forward?
No, I'm just ready to move forward as well. I got my pen and paper ready as well.
Okay, and Erica's also going to talk about the book. I was just sharing with Erica that in pulling out my folder just last night to kind of recap on the book, I found my notes and just read briefly over them before the show. And just, you know, it's good to actually keep things written. And I wish I had just kind of kept it out or made a plaque out of it or something, because there was just kind of those key points that we talked about, change, you know, being inevitable. And we have mentioned your book so many times on this show since you last was on with us, because it's so applicable to life and it's so applicable to what you're going to talk about tonight. So if you would just kind of share some things about the book. Again, I've pulled my information out, and change is inevitable, and how people think and what we think about, and and just being mindful of our environment and who we allow in it and what value they bring to our lives, whether negatively or positively, and then evaluating that, just as CEOs have to do, we should do that in our lives. And I think one of the things that I remember most was, are you a cohesive whole or a collective? And I might not be saying that exactly right. We have used that so many times on the show as well, because we feel that's one reason people are in such a state of confusion, because they don't know when to be who and who they are and where they should be this person and so forth. So I know for me, I have really started to look at being consistent with who I am and who I am and making sure that I'm putting that out no matter where I am. I think, as you said on the show before, you know, being in control, that allows you to be in control around in any situation, around any crowd, because you know who you are. So if you
Absolutely.
Would share some more about the book.
Well, you know, go back to this book for those people who are just listening for the first time and probably don't have a clue what we're talking about. The book is entitled CEO to the Power of You, and that book was birthed out of my many years of travel. It took me about 3 years to write it. But one of the things that I realized in mentoring individuals and interacting with them, I'm observing things from different cultures, and it's just that we don't have all of the pieces. We clearly don't have all of the pieces. We may have learned A, B, and C. We kind of missed B and E, and we've got F, G, H, and somehow we ended up at Z, but we don't have everything that's necessary for us to not function dysfunctionally. So I thought about just writing something very simplistic and basic. Some of the key things that are important that I find running companies and helping other people to run their enterprises is that you have to know what success is. You have to know what success not only to the company would be, but what is success to you, because if you don't have that component, you can get on any little bandwagon and you allow them to take you on a journey. And let's just say with a major company, you go on a journey with this company, and after 19 years, they'll say, you know, thank you, Tika. Thank you so much, Ms. Tammy. It's been a really nice ride, and you've done an exceptional job, but your services are no longer needed. Now, when you think about 19 years into something like that, you're not old, but you're matured in age, and most companies don't want to hire you at that age because they know they're going to either have to pay you more money or there may be some medical issues and a host of other things as to why they won't hire you when you're somewhere between 45, 50, 60. Of course, they can't say that's the reason because it's discriminatory, but, you know, it's unspoken. So if you define this success for yourself, then while you're on the journey with them, you can also be on your own journey. And I think we somehow relinquish our responsibility to ourselves and we give it to someone else, and when it doesn't work out the way we believe it should, we become upset and angry when first we need to really, like Michael Jackson says, look at the man in the mirror, because we're the ones who are making the ultimate decision. We're the one, we are that CEO for our lives. We say yes or we say no. And then I realized that after they have the success part, you have to really change the way you think. Sometimes our thinking is not right thinking, and then we also have to consider the people who taught us to think. And in many instances, unfortunately, we've not been taught to think. We've been taught to do what someone instructs us to do, from grade school all the way to your job. So just unplugging yourself and from the way the world does things and just learn to meditate and think about things differently. I have a person that I admire. I mean, when I tell you I admire this gentleman, his name is Mr. Holton Bugs. Great admiration for him, one of the most humblest men that I've ever met. One of his favorite phrases, I would say, is look at what 99% of the world is doing and you go do the opposite. So we have to understand that if everybody's doing a certain thing, perhaps that's not the right thing to do to catapult us to the success that we so desperately want and seek. So we'll have to change what we're thinking. And then to create that corporate life structure. So the book is broken down into those three pieces so that there is a call of action list for you to actually chart your growth. It's still a relevant piece, as you said, and I think that it'll be one of those pieces in time that never loses its flavor because it's so relevant. And I believe that every time I read it, although I wrote it, I see something different. I see a different perspective than which I wrote it initially. So that's pretty much about the book.
Okay. And I know we've asked people to kind of, you know, get the book and read it throughout the time, from the time that you were on with us. And as I share with you, a couple of weekends ago, I received a call, and a young lady had read the book, finally finished the book, and I've kind of been on her for a while. And so she was very empowered by the book, and I just remember hearing her tone was different. It just brought about some clarity. It seemed like it just kind of summed some things up for her. So for those of you who have not read the book, if you've not purchased it, we actually gave a few away to some of our listeners, and I actually gave a few away to some of the younger people who were also just blessed by it. So if you have not, please, you know, you can do that. Erica will give out some information on that before we end the show. For those of you who are listening, the lines are open, so we were hoping that you all have your questions and your comments together tonight for Erica. If it's maybe about something that you're thinking about doing, starting your own business, if you want some advice on that. So just anything that, any questions that you have. I see that we have a number of you listening, so now is your time to kind of get some free advice on that. So go ahead and select, lines are open, and the chat line is as well for those of you who are listening online with us. Okay? All right. Okay, Erica, we don't have anybody right now. As soon as we do, I'll pull them in.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
I had some questions, and I'll go ahead and get those in. What recommendations would you give people that are, whether they know what they want to do, whether, you know, trying to determine what to do, you know, what, if I need to make some extra income, if I, you know, what are some things out there, how should they go about looking into what should they do?
I think that today with the state of the economy and the lack of, and this is an oxymoron, you have the lack of opportunities, yet you have opportunities. It all depends on how you look at it. And, again, that's going to require you to change your thought. It's going to require you to get out of your comfort zone, because everything that a person really desires to become successful is going to happen outside of their comfort zone. And you're going to have to challenge yourself to do something differently. And then you're going to have to challenge yourself to listen to different individuals and not the same group, because the same group is not going to understand where it is that you're trying to go and what it is that you're trying to do. So I think that that's going to be critical for them. The opportunities that are existing now, well, let's just talk just a little bit about the economy before I go into the opportunities, because we're in an economy right now where you have roughly 12.5 million people who are unemployed. And most times people automatically assume that this is due to politics. Yes, there is a lot of political things that are happening in the atmosphere, but let's separate church and state as we've done many years ago, but somehow they've somehow managed to get back into the same arena. But a business is established for one reason and one reason only, and that is profitability if it is a for-profit entity. It is established to earn money, and it is established to earn as much money as it possibly can. So 12.5 million people are not employed right now because they lack skills, talent, or the ability. They're unemployed simply because companies are finding a different way to do what they've always done with less people. Now, can we blame the employers? Let's look at technology and how technology has taken its course. Technology allows us to do things in triple, quadruple time, whereas before it would take us 10, 15 people to get it done. It's just a person on the beginning and a person on the end. We don't even need anyone in the middle anymore. So what's happening is companies are realizing that it's cheaper for me to either contract out my services, whether it doesn't necessarily have to be abroad to contract it out. There are people who are contracting services to smaller business enterprises within the United States. They're doing that so they don't have to pay liability insurance for you to come on their property. They don't have to match 401ks and put together employee packages and have employee relations departments because people can't get along, or just the whole managing people, their attitudes, their moods. They don't have to do that. If they contract the work out, you only get paid for what you produce. So now they're becoming wiser for everyone who sits at work and play on Facebook and, you know, tweets this and, you know, you're there to be, you're there to work 8 hours. You probably give a good 2 hours solid to your employer, but yet they're having to pay for eight. So now they're placing the responsibility back on individuals by creating new dimensions within their companies that say you are paid for your performance. And that is where the breakdown is today, because people are still waiting for recruiters to call, and recruiters are not calling. Before the job is even posted, they already know who they're going to hire, whether they're an internal candidate or an external candidate. They already know based on the network that's happened. So by the time that particular posting makes it to public knowledge, it's just out there. So people are submitting resumes to a job that has already been filled more than likely. So what do you do in an economy that doesn't seem to be working, but it is working? It's working if you decide to change your thinking about how you see the economy. So that's why I really wanted to talk about this economic development and entrepreneurship, because this is the prime time for people to launch the right business. And, again, timing is everything. And just because you decide to launch a business does not necessarily mean that you need to start a business from scratch. Sometimes plug it into an existing system that's already there, a system that's already existing. You're just plugging in. You're leveraging off of the marketing that has already been done. You're leveraging off of the product or services that are being offered, and you're tweaking it basically for how you can actually deliver the product to market or deliver the service to market. So you're going to have to redirect how you see things, because employers are not willing to pay you $16 an hour and then match it, so technically they're paying $32 an hour. That's a great cost, and I don't think that people who are going to work every day realize what's happening with employers and why they're not hiring and the cost and things of that magnitude. So I really wanted to share that. It's not as simplistic or political as people think it is. You guys are with me on that?
Yes, I am. I know when we were talking earlier, well, some of us were talking earlier about how the post office, how we do everything now online. We pay our bills online, so that will eliminate a great number of jobs when it comes to our postal workers and things like that. So I think, again, people, we don't really look at it in that aspect of people losing their jobs and not having it and how we contribute to that. But even so, we still need to find something to do, even if you're going to work the 9-to-5. I mean, I know for me, I've always kept a side thing, something that I do on the side that I kind of control. And, again, whether it's, like you said, whether it's starting something from scratch or jumping in on the bandwagon, I've sold candles, I've sold phone service, gosh, jewelry, what have I not, basically. So even if people start with something like that, and then the tax write-off that you get, but even when you try to share that with people, you know, how you will benefit with a tax write-off, you know, by just setting up a small office in your home, even with selling candles and coffee, like for you, Erica, things like that. So I totally agree with you, and also wanted to comment on, you know, with sharing, being careful with who you share and the timing of it, because sometimes people will break your spirit, so to speak. They will talk you down before you have a chance to just get it and run off with it. So I think that is very important as well.
Yes, but one of the things that people fail to realize is the reason why people talk you down is because of their own fear, okay? They have a fear, and what they do is impart that fear upon you when you begin to talk about doing something great. So I agree. You have to be very careful with whom you're sharing information with, but even before you share information with them, look at what they're doing with their lives. If all they're doing is, excuse me, I don't mean any harm here, but if all they're doing is sitting there watching reality TV, obviously they're not paying attention to their own reality.
I like that.
You know? And so what tends to happen is they try to tell you about your reality, which if you begin to believe that, it becomes an illusion for you, because that's what they believe about you. It's not what you believe about you. And if you don't believe in your inner greatness, nobody else can say anything else to you to make you believe, you know. And you should be doing something aside, whatever it is you're doing, so that you have more than one iron in the fire, so to speak, because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, we all know how that could possibly end up. That could be, a travesty, just putting everything in one basket. But another thing, partnering with someone, look at you and Tika. You guys have a radio talk show. Partner with someone that you know you can count on and that's an accountability to you. And you don't have to carry the whole weight if you have, a family or if you have to take care of your mom or a grandmother or something. Partner with someone to do something great. Because
right.
Greatness is always achieved in the company of more people who are great. So
right.
I think that that's one of the steps that should be taken. And I think that people also should understand the dimensions of being powerful and to have a certain amount of power. Because in order for you to have power, it's three phases of power. And a good friend of mine, Professor Derek Gardell from New Orleans, he and I talk about this. You have to have power acquisition, you have to have power expansion, and you have to have power maintenance in order for you to be a powerful person. So that's three phases and three dimensions of that. You have to acquire something with a great deal of power. But then you have to expand that in which you acquire, but then you also have to maintain it. So that's kind of like nurturing relationships. Once you open a business, then you say, okay, I have the business and, I have an office or a building on 2nd and 5th. I'm just throwing out some street names. But now you're going to expand that. Are you going to expand it just from 2nd and 5th, or are you going to expand it virally and go international and let people know, start marketing international for people to know that you have this shop on 2nd and 5th? And then you have to maintain the relationship when you do that. So you don't just treat people any kind of way because they decided to work with you, because we have to always understand that people have a choice when they spend money or spend time. You need to make it well worth their time to do either of them with you.
Okay. And you all, the lines are open, so feel free to just chime in any time here. I'm keeping an eye on it, so they're open. I do have another question, Erica. What do you say to someone who is ready to start a business, but they just don't quite have the finances that it takes to get that business off and running, or they need more?
That's why I believe that, for example, I know this is going to sound really lame, so to speak, because people, they kind of dismiss things. Let's just say we go back to marketing and distribution platforms. Mary Kay is a marketing and distribution platform. Tupperware is Avon. Those are marketing and distribution platforms. In order for anybody to become wealthy, they're going to have a product, because people consume products. That's why Walmart is so successful, because we go in there and we buy products. And we do that over and over and over again. So one of the things when you think about buying into like a Mary Kay, or at Avon, or some other marketing and distribution platform, like you say, I have a marketing and distribution platform with coffee and coffee beverage products, and you've done mobile telephones and things of the like. So when you start to get into those things that are already existing, starting that business is not going to cost you as much money. Now, let me show you this. You and I, let's just say we're at your home and we're watching television, and the television goes out. 9 times out of 10, an individual will say, oh, well, let's go to Walmart, and they'll buy the television, and they'll put it on their credit card. But they won't do the same to start a business. Now, you have a guy by the name of T. Harv Eker. T. Harv Eker, in his book called Speedwell, he says that he invested $2,000. He said all of his money was gone. He used $2,000 off of his credit card to make a $2 million profit off of a business. We have to change the way we think. Stop buying stuff and investing yourself. Take the risk. Why risk buying a dress for $200 when you can risk buying a business for $200? Because most of these marketing and distribution platforms don't need your money. Many of them function debt-free because their overhead is limited, because most of the people who work for them are contract or distributors for the company. So my thing would, if someone did not have a lot of money, would be to actually buy into some form of a distributorship that works, not just any distributorship, but something in which you know there's sustainability for a product. And if I can go a little bit further, it's one of the reasons why I decided to get into the coffee business with OrganoGold, because coffee is something that is not a luxury item. Everybody can afford it. And, you know, I often tell a story that, you know, when you go to the grocery store, and if, you know, you guys were billionaires and I was a thousandaire, you know, if you wanted coffee and I wanted coffee, we were going to buy it off the same aisle. It wasn't one for the billionaires aisle in the store, and it wasn't one for, you know, the thousandaire. We're both on the same aisle, which means that this is an affordable item. So that's the other thing that you have to consider. How big is your market for whatever it is that you're going to sell? And the bigger the market, the better and the more sustainable you are. You know, I talked about Mary Kay and Avon. You know, when it comes down to it, makeup is not a luxury item for many people. It's just something else. So, and I'm not knocking that, because, you know, people do buy vanity and we do want to look really nice, and there are people who have disposable income for it. But there's a larger market when you get into maybe mobile phones or you get into coffee, because mostly everybody have mobile phones even if they don't have a landline. So you have to consider buying into something that's existing, not only buying into the distributorship, but make sure you have the right leadership within the distributorship, because leadership is what's going to make you successful. You can't follow anybody. You have to follow the right body in order for you to reach the pinnacle and the goals that you're going towards. So I would definitely say, if you don't have a lot of money, buy into something that's already existing, but know what it is that you're getting into.
I agree. And reevaluate. Maybe you can, you know, sell some things and or maybe move in with someone for a few months and save money and that kind of thing. So if you really believe in what you're doing and what you want to do, maybe that's some other options as well. And I know for here, we have a place here, and I believe it's the Memphis Renaissance Building, and I believe quite a number of the other areas do have, you know, programs such as what we have here. And I know you can go and take classes, free business classes, and they will assign you a counselor to help you with your business plan. So you have to kind of get it in order, write it down, and then, you know, get some people in your corner that can help you and keep you motivated, help you to remain motivated as you do it. So
absolutely, absolutely. Motivation is key. You have to be connected to the right people, because whenever you start a business, we have to remember, it is a business. It's going to require a lot from you, and it's going to require that you connect with the right people. And one of the other things I like to say about going to different places, and we are technologically advanced now, and things are changing, the dynamics of everything is changing. I think that it's more necessary for someone, and I know I'm going to get a lot of slack for this, but that's okay, I have broad shoulders on this one, but you know, it's more important to have a marketing plan to me than it is a business plan. If someone came to me with a great idea, an extensive marketing plan, but no business plan, I would probably fund it, simply because you have to have a marketing plan in order to make the business run and operate. And most times people will have a business plan with a very small marketing budget, and then you wonder why the business folds within the first year, and in some instances if they make it to 3 years.
Right.
So.
Right.
That marketing plan, expensive, whether you're going to do mail-outs. But see, all of this stuff already, it costs money. That's why it's important today in this economy to plug into something that's already a marketing and distribution platform. And if I can go back and talk about what that is, the very first company that really, really, really took marketing and distribution platforms to an exponential power out of this world would be McDonald's. McDonald's has that framework and setup of marketing and distribution. That's why they're the only restaurant in this country. They're the largest shareholder in real estate. They own more real estate than any company in the world, simply because whenever someone buys a franchise, become a distributor of McDonald's hamburgers and french fries, whenever they do that, they never own the land that the McDonald's is on. They only own the ability to sell hamburgers, french fries, milkshakes, and all the things that McDonald's sells. So McDonald's has been able to really, really get this concept and bring it worldwide and global. That's why people cannot underestimate marketing and distribution platforms, because they work. We can look at McDonald's and we know that it works. Another company that has borrowed McDonald's distribution, marketing distribution, but has not sold any distributorships will be Starbucks. Because Mr. Schultz, in his book, Pour Your Heart In, he talks about how Starbucks was actually established. They never used a commercial, nothing on television. Starbucks is just starting to come around and do commercials because now they're competing against Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's, who's now selling $40 billion a year in coffee, more than they've ever done in hamburgers. So now Starbucks is having to spend money in marketing, in which they've never done before. So when you look at these marketing and distribution platforms, I tell people all the time, do not say, I don't want to be bothered with that, because that is the wave of the future. Marketing and distribution platforms are the wave of the future. People who are complaining about their supervisors not giving them a great review so they can get a raise, in a marketing and distribution platform, you can out-earn your supervisor. You don't have to wait for a referral. Your work ethic is what's going to get you paid. So it's really a great model. It's just that people have to believe in themselves more than they believe in the companies that they work for.
Right, which can fold at any time, as we've seen.
Absolutely. Yes.
I wanted to ask you about when I first heard you mention Holton Bugs. I recognize his name because he's VP of Sales in OrganoGold. But I wanted to, one of the questions I was going to ask you about earlier prior to the show starting, but then I can see that that's something you've mentioned as well, just hearing about the economy and the reason that, you know, jobs are becoming more scarce because, like you said, people do spend a lot of time not really doing the work but doing more of other things and only putting a small amount of time, 2 hours maybe, into the actual jobs. And so one of the best things to do would be getting into the marketing and distribution, so the MLMs. I've tried several over the years, but OrganoGold is new to me as well, and I just decided to do that a few months back. But it is, when I think of just what I've done over the past, the different ones that I've tried over the years, it is the mindset that we have to be in order to get this started, because we are so aware that the product sells. Like you said, I've even done Mary Kay as well, but that's not marketable to everyone as coffee is. But it is the mindset of believing in ourselves as well and being aware of who we're going to get support from and who we won't get support from. But most of all, it's believing in ourselves, because even if 10 doors close over here, once you believe in yourself, it's something that you can keep on pushing through every obstacle or every mountain up against you. But it is something that I believe is the best way to be financially independent and not relying, like you said, relying on someone to give you decent reviews so you can get a raise, or not knowing if you will be unemployed a year from now, 6 months from now, or even a week from now, just because of the way the economy is going. But that's more, to me, there's more security in that, because you can go as high as you decide to go.
Absolutely. You can definitely do that. Definitely go as high as you want to go with it. But see, people, you know, let me explain this about MLMs, multi-level marketing, marketing and distribution platforms. And I never use MLM. Notice that everything that I said has always been marketing and distribution platforms, because I think that when a person thinks MLM, I think it's two different thought processes. Let me say that. Marketing and distribution platforms, yeah, it's big. It's McDonald's. When you think multi-level marketing, you're thinking something that's really small, and what I mean by that is how you're getting paid. See, a marketing and distribution company builds for sustainability in the future. Someone who's in multi-level marketing is trying to get $50, $20, $30. That's two different thought processes. You know, when you get into building a marketing and distribution firm, when you get into building a business, you all know that there's not an immediate return. You may get pennies that are trickling in, but it's not until after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years, you begin to get the big money, because then you're investing. And then I believe that the other part that's really necessary for people to understand when you get into business is stop looking to your friends and family for your major support. That is not where it's going to come from, because if it were, you would be so far along in life if we can all just say we have this undying support of our family and our friends. You know, and I'm talking about all of them. Of course, we have just that one or that two, you know, a few, but I'm talking about just think collectively. When you have this, everything in your environment is supporting you. When that happens, that's something different. That's why it's important for you to, for me, I've been an entrepreneur for over 18 years, which means that I have to talk to eat. If I don't talk, I don't eat, okay? So it's easy for me to see someone on the street and, good morning, how are you? Oh, hey, it's great to see you. Yeah, well, what kind of business are you in? It's easy for me to engage in that level of conversation because I know that I have to go out, I have to hunt, I have to kill, I have to skin, I have to sell in order for me to get a meal. When you go into a building in a company that you work for and it's nothing against that, you're not the person who's hunting, killing, skinning, and selling. You're a person that goes in and you do a small fraction of what that overall operation is doing. There's someone in that company, CEO, directors, that are hunting, killing, skinning, and selling in order for you to get a check. But what we fail to realize in getting a check is that if you ever paid attention in your career while working, sometimes, this is when they used to get paper checks. I don't know if they still get paper checks. I've been gone for 18 years. But, you know, sometimes you'll get your check in the morning, and other times they don't give it to you until 5 that evening simply because they don't have the money. They have to get a line of credit because the receivables were not paid, and the line of credit has not been deposited until later that evening. Or on a direct deposit, most times it'll come on a Thursday night, but then one time it doesn't come Thursday, it comes Friday, and people are like, well, I wonder why they didn't deposit it Thursday. It's normally because they didn't have it. You are working in advance for a check that you may or may not get. So what are you doing to ensure that if by chance you were the person who walked to Goldman Sachs one day to go to work and the doors would chain and it said the company is bankrupt, the check that you were working for to get on the following Friday will not come, what will happen to your life? You have to take charge. You have to do something. And this is the atmosphere where new wealthy people are being created because they are challenging themselves to do something different, and they're challenging themselves to connect with people who think differently. In order for that elevation to take place, you're going to have to get on the elevator going up.
And, you know, Erica, what you said about the person that goes in and nothing against, you know, that person that goes into the 9 to 5, nothing against that. But think about what you said. You're not the, if you're going in and doing that, you're not the person that is out there, you know, engaging in those conversations, speaking to those people, hunting, so to say. But someone is. So what you're doing is entrusting that that person won't get tired of doing this, or that person is consistently in doing it, rather than saying, okay, I can do this 9 to 5, but I'm going to get something on the side too. I'm going to be that person so that I can be in control of what I eat. At least I know that I am pushing it. I am consistent. Because, again, you are entrusting that to someone. By going in, people have walked in, you know, come to work, and the doors are shut. That happened here, not in Memphis, not so long ago, to a very known chain. So, you know, it can happen. It is happening.
It's a reality. And, you know, and then what happens is, you know, there's an anger. You know, you get angry. You know, here we have our presidential election tomorrow. You know, I hope that everyone exercise their right to vote, no matter who they vote for. Just exercise your right to vote because it's your constitutional right to do so. But you cannot expect the government to fix it all for you. You know, you can't expect the next president to come in and, okay, 12.5 million people are going to be employed. No, that's not going to happen because we are individuals who we start companies and we make decisions about whether or not we're going to hire people to come into our business. The government doesn't tell us that. So it doesn't matter who's president. Companies are making their own decisions as to whether they're going to hire someone or not. That's why economic development and entrepreneurship is so important. That is why it's important to support the neighborhood restaurant from that's a mom-and-pop shop, because those places, your smaller enterprises, your small businesses, they employ 49% of the private sector workforce. So if we don't support the smaller places in your neighborhood, then you are going to contribute to another 49% of this population being unemployed. We cannot always go to your big conglomerates because they monopolize, and then when they decide to close and shut down, everybody's hurting. So we really have to change the way we're thinking. We have to support each other's business. You know, I don't understand why, if you know that and I share this with a group of people, if I am invited over to eat dinner, you know, with you guys, and let's say, Tiki, we are at your house, and I come in and you sell coffee, but I'm coming in with a Starbucks cup, or I'm coming into your house and I say, hey, you know, I'm about to go to Starbucks, but I won't buy coffee from you. Well, when was the last time Mr. Schultz invited someone over to eat dinner with him at his house? Because you do it maybe every Sunday, and whenever I come over to eat, you don't ask me for money, but I won't support your business. See, that's flawed thinking. That's why it's critical that everybody change their thinking about things. You know, why would you go somewhere else when you know your friend or your family member? Why would you hire someone to cut your lawn that, and you have one in your family who owns a lawn business? Because when you go to the family member's house and eat, where did you think he got the money from? You didn't even contribute because you gave your money to someone else, but they're not inviting you over to eat or to share or anything, or they're not supporting you. So we have to really, really look at this, you know, in a microscopic way to see that, you know, we're, our thought processes overall are incorrect, and we're not going to be sustainable individually or collectively, not with big companies ruling. So, again, it matters not who's president. We have to create our own economic development through entrepreneurship.
And I think, Erica, once someone changes their mindset and starts supporting, you know, we throw this family and friend word around pretty, pretty heavy, but we take it lightly. And I'm so with you on that. I can remember when I was selling candles and I had gone over to this person's house and I realized that they had candles that they had purchased from Walmart, and I took every bit of them home with me. I took every last candle home with me, and I burned them all. And I just told them, you're buying candles from Walmart, and I sell candles. And so we have to start supporting one another. And I think we're so hesitant. One reason we could be so hesitant in starting things is because we know that we are not in that supportive mindset. So we're thinking, I don't support things like that, so who would support me? We see that most people have that mindset. So one way to change, when you talk about the private sectors, you know, think about the people in your family, the friends that are selling things that you buy on a daily basis or a weekly basis or when you go to the grocery store. You know, that's one way to start supporting one another. That's one way to start honoring families and friendship, the word family and friends.
Absolutely, and wealth is just not going to drop on your doorstep. Riches may drop on your doorstep, but riches are temporary. Wealth is not going to drop on your doorstep. You have to strategically position yourself for wealth.
When you start on a job, they may start you out with $10-$15 an hour. It will be quite a while before you get to 25, if you get there, $25-$30 an hour. It will take quite a while, and they're going to judge you basically how they want you. They have the right to let you go, you know, in some states with no explanation. So they also have the right to say, you didn't perform up to this standard, and therefore we're only going to give you this percentage in a raise. Or they could say that we weren't as profitable as we thought we would be, and you get nothing.
Absolutely, and that's what's going on today. People don't understand. That's the reason why unemployment is at an all-time high, because of greed and profit. It's not because they can't do it. They choose not to do it. So since they choose not to employ you, what are you going to choose to do? Everybody has a choice.
Wow. Okay, well, the lines are open, you all. I see you listening. I see you out there. But if you have a question, you know, now is the time to get your questions in or your comments, anything on the economy, entrepreneurship, any questions that you have, the lines are open.
Absolutely.
Or anything on Erica's book that you want to ask a question about or share your experience on, just let us know. Press the number one if you're listening by phone. If you're on the chat line, remember, you must be a registered follower in order for me to see that you will have submitted a question or a comment.
Right, and I want people to know that I have been fortunate and privileged in my 18-year, almost 19-year career to travel the world to work with foreign governments and prime ministers and corporate-level executives and to understand how they think about things and the decisions that they make. You know, and just to be here on your show and to just be open enough to answer the questions for free, and I say that because, of course, you have to realize this is my business, so most times I'm billing out for these answers. But here it is that, you know, we're plugged in, we're live on your show. We want to help people with their entrepreneurial questions. We want to talk to them about economic development. How do I get in? How do I make change? Because we know there are a number of people who are suffering right now. So I implore you, if you are listening, if you are on the chat line, ask your question. There is no question that is foolish. We are in this place for it to be a learning environment and to help you take the next step toward whatever success you want to achieve in life. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, Tammy, we have been just partnered since last year, because everything is so positive about empowering, motivating,
right,
and inspiring others to greatness. So, you know, they're there, they're listening, but we want you to join in, because we put this together just for you so that you can know that there are opportunities out there for you. And even after this show, I mean, if you email me or, you know, go to my website and, you know, ask me a question, I answer questions. I answer them by blog, video blog. You know, depending on how many questions I have, I may select several of them to answer by video blog. So please do not allow the opportunity to pass you by while the three of us are on this telephone and just willing to answer questions to help you out with economic development and entrepreneurship in this time. And we all know that tomorrow is a big day in our country. We don't know which way the pendulum will land when it swings to and fro, but we know that whatever happens, we're going to have to work with it. We're going to have to find our place in society with it happening. So, you know, I'm really excited to be here. You know, I'm excited about what the book has done in the life of the young lady that you spoke about earlier, Tammy. You know, I'm excited to still be on tour, and, you know, I host here in Houston on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, executive power networking events, and they are by email only. So you have to email me to say, hey, I want to come to this event, because we're talking about networking with powerful people. You know, on Wednesdays and Saturdays, I'm training people on how to build sustainable companies, especially within marketing and distribution, simply because it's the wave of not only the 21st century, but it's going to usher us into the 22nd century. So it's just a lot of exciting things going on in the economy, in which if you're focused on the downside, that's all you're going to see. But when you refocus and, you know, remove that mental glaucoma that you placed there, then you'll realize that, you know, the sky is the limit, and this is the time for you to reach for the stars, you know. And as long as you're reaching for the stars, even with anything happening in that atmosphere, you're going to get stardust all over you, okay?
Well, we do have a caller, Erica.
Okay.
We have a caller. Caller, you're on air with us from the 678, last four, 9759. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Tika. Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I called in to tell you, number one, that your book has really inspired me. I won this book on the show, and I began to read your book, and I stopped reading your book in the middle of your book. And I stopped reading because I was challenged in more ways than one. And last year, I was put into a position, well, God bless me with a new position, and that position required me to take many roles, you know, wear many titles. And I did that. Well, I think in the end of the year last year, my spirit started twisting a little bit. I started saying, God, you know, I love my job, you know, but it's something that you want me to do. I don't know what it is, but I need you to help me find what it is that you need me to do. And I kept telling a friend about it, and, well, not a friend, my cousin. I kept telling my cousin about it. I'm just not happy. I have the best boss in the world, but it's just I'm just not happy. And then she kept saying, have you finished Erica's book, CEO to the Power of You? I kept saying, you know, I'm going to finish it. Well, about a week and a half ago, I picked up your book again, and I finished that book. I was so empowered because it enlightened me on so many things, so many issues that I was dealing with within myself. And I'm aware, number one, being fearful, just to step out, you know, and just trust God and have the faith that whatever you want to do, you can do it. You don't have to be fearful of it. Number two, you spoke in the book and you said, you talked about, I hope I'm saying this right, stinking thinking. If you think thinking, then you're going to get stinky results. And I just want to let you know that I was very empowered by it. Number three, the question I have for you is, what kind of advice will you give somebody who does many things? Like within myself, I sing, I dance, I write poetry, and I'm very good at all three. The thing I love to do the most is dance. I love to dance. So what kind of advice will you give someone like me who do want to step out and own our own business? I have owned my own before, but to go even, you know, just to go deeper with something that I've always enjoyed doing ever since I was a little girl. What kind of advice would you have for me?
I would tell you, well, first of all, I want to tell you thank you so much for finishing the book and reading the book, and I'm so you don't know how moved I am to hear that book has empowered you, because the 3 years that it took me to write it, that was all that I thought about, how I can touch people, you know, more people. In just traveling, I can't be everywhere, but what can I produce that will allow that? And for you to be wherever you are in this world, and for that book to have touched you, I am totally humbled and moved by that. So I wanted to tell you that. And then also, what I would say to you, when you are that talented, I would definitely say, and don't get angry at me, I would tell you to get this book that's called Strength Finders 2.0 by Tom Rapp. And it's just merely an assessment, and it tells you your top five strengths. And what we need to do is, when we know our top five strengths, we use them to become stronger. Because just because you may be good at singing, you may be exceptional at dance. And if you're exceptional at dance, you always want to do what you're exceptional at, because it's effortless and it gives you an opportunity to focus on the business side of the craft. When you have to focus on the craft and the business, it becomes a little daunting because you're working basically overtime. But the craft of dance, if you're exceptional at dance, then I would say you're exceptional at dance. Start off with some form of a dance studio where you can teach dance and that you can touch and you're able to change things. I would say that if that's what you were exceptional at. Plug into what you're exceptional at. You know, some people bake good cakes, but there are other people who bake exceptional cakes. So whatever it is that you're exceptional at, make that the priority and let everything else enhance it. That's what I would say to you.
Thank you so much, Erica. And, again, I just really appreciate, number one, Tammy for it. I mean, she's just amazing. I'm so proud of her and Tika to have this platform for not only women but men, for all of us to learn and continue to learn. And, again, thank you for just being the person that you are, the woman that you are, and taking 3 years to write this incredible book and really having, you know, a light on my life, having the light to shine on my life. And I really appreciate it so much, because you really, God knows you did. I don't know, something went through me last week with this book. It just stirred up my spirit and just began to make me want to just be more, not to just make my boss rich, but if I'm putting in the hours and, Lord, doing everything that you need me to do, I'm making you filthy rich. What about making some steps for my own life so that I don't have to worry about this and I don't have to worry about that? But I really appreciate everything you've done. So God bless you and continue to do what you do, and have a great night. Thank you, Tika.
Well.
Thanks,
Thank
Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, wonderful caller. So the lines are open. Great question, great feedback, and again, we cannot say enough about the book. And what I've suggested to the people that I know that have taken the time to read it is go back and read your highlighted parts, because I like to go back and read the things. I'll just pick up a book sometimes and just read what I highlighted, and then sometimes read it again and use a different highlighter to kind of make note of the second read. But that keeps you, we have to find ways to keep ourselves motivated and just keep your mind on the end, because, again, if we can go in 9 to 5, sometimes 9 to 7 or 8 to 5, we work salary, we work overtime. I know for me, I had to just, I was a workaholic for someone else, and I have just cut it off. I have shut it down. I do what I do for the time that I've allotted for that, and after that, I don't open it back up until Monday morning, where I used to be just consistent. So find something that, again, you love to do. Things are happening all around us. I was sharing a video with my son of a family that has started a business. They accept or they keep students' cell phones. They're right outside of a huge area where there's many students enrolled in high school, and the school has really taken control over them bringing their phones into the school. So this truck it's outside of the school in an area where it just the students come up, they pay, so and they get a ticket, and these people keep their phone until school is over, and they get their phone when they leave school. But to look at the number of students that line up so that they are able to have their phone on the way to school and on the way from school, because most of them are riding the city transit and things like that. But there is a business out there for everyone. You just have to stay passionate about it. You have to commit to work just as hard, hopefully harder, than you do when you go in for the 9 to 5. You know, be willing to commit to that. Don't just step into something and pay your money to start a business and think, okay, I'm going to just work a little bit for my business, but I'm going to give my all here. So the lines are open. Erica, Tika?
Yes, I'm here. I was just hoping that someone else would, you know, come in and ask their question, because, you know, we're going to be off the air here in a few, and then
right.
You know, you're going to sit back and say, man, I should have asked this question, I should have asked that question. Although I am there for you, but always ask a question, because you never know how that question can help open a door or shed light or help someone else, because it's not always just about us individually. It's about everyone collectively. And that is what's going to give us this birthing process of new budding entrepreneurs going into the 22nd century as we close out the 21st century. We have to position or strategically position ourselves to ease generations into something that we know is available and we're able to acquire. And it's going to take teamwork, partnership, and it's going to take belief more than anything. If you believe it, it's done. You're 90% down the journey, and it matters not what no one says, because you believe and you have a certain passion about it. So in the wake of what, you know, media and propaganda want us to believe is the worst depression. Everything is horrible, when it's all because of politics. No, it's all because things were not managed properly by those that were in charge. Here is your opportunity to manage something properly by being in charge. You know exactly what not to do based on what you've observed others doing. And I share with a good friend of mine, Dr. Koji Mackay. We talk about leadership all the time, and I told him we had gone to this event, and I told him what I've learned from this event is the type of leader I do not want to be. And see, that's what we have to learn in a lot of things. You know, what is it, not what is it that I want to be, what is it that I do not want to be? Because when you know what it is that you do not want to be, you strive harder to be that in which you started out going after in the beginning. So here's the time, here's the season for entrepreneurship through economic development. Here's a time where we can change lives, change the world, and do things that have never been seen before. We have the technological platform. We have the marketing and distribution platform. And when you add work ethic to that, it doesn't equal anything but success.
Right. We have another caller. This is the caller from the 615, last four, 6722. Caller, you're on air with us.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
How are you? How are you guys?
We're good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. I haven't read the book, but it sounds really interesting, and I'm planning on getting one very soon. Okay, for one who has, like, dreams and hopes of, like, owning their own business or doing something with retail, basically wanting to be an entrepreneur and they know that about themselves, like, how do they start out? Like, do they start saving first and then thinking about going to a publisher and giving them the idea, or do they, you know, create it and then, like, take it on, like, take that responsibility on themselves to branch it out in the community that they're in so people can get, like, a feel of who I am? I mean, I don't know which real approach to go with it. I know I have to stay constant in it, but how do you just break each one up, like owning a shop or starting something? How do you break them up and then go forward with that? Do you just take it one step at a time? That's my question.
Okay.
I know it was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, and whenever you decide that you're going to start a new business, technically it's a lot. It's a lot because it's the first time that you've done it. That's why it's a lot. It's not that it cannot be accomplished. One of the things that I would say to you, first of all, is you have to be very focused, okay? You have to not allow small things to distract and to destroy your confidence, because in order for you to think and conceive of any idea to create something that's going to require patenting or whatever, something that you want to bring to market, and whenever you want to bring something to market, you know that it's going to require capital. Now, here's the thing. It all depends on whether you want to control the product or not, because if you want to control the product, how it's actually brought into the community, you're going to have to raise funding for that. Now, here's the part in raising funding in 2012, headed into 2013 and beyond. People are not readily investing in a lot of things. So whatever it is that you have, it has to be great. It has to be exceptional. Prior to sharing that with anybody, you have to make sure, and this is a critical aspect, that there is a non-disclosure agreement and a very ironclad, tight non-disclosure agreement before you share your idea. I would suggest that you raise money, utilize your own money, control your product, and they can do exactly what you wanted to do because it's birthed from you. It's birthed from the very depths of you, so you know exactly what you intend for it to do when it gets to market. So you have the option to partner with something that's already existing for a low fee, earn some money to pour into your greater vision, or you have the other avenue of seeking out individuals who are influential and who have the funding, creating an awesome presentation, whether it's via a PowerPoint. I would definitely do PowerPoint. I would do very limited handouts, and I would have everyone who come in to sign a non-disclosure agreement. But before you even get to that point, you pique interest by presenting an idea that's elusive, nothing near what it is that you're talking about. You're going to talk about the idea as if it's an idea, but no one knows what the idea is, but you're going to give us dollar amounts. If you invest X, Y, and Z, you're going to get a return on your investment of X, Y, and Z. If this is something that you're interested in, let me know, and then we go to the next level. You will be invited to a private meeting whereby a presentation will reveal to you what this idea is, but then they're also signing a non-disclosure agreement when they come in. So either way it goes, you can do something temporary, buy into another system, whether it's Mary Kay, Avon, Coffee, or whatever it is, earn some money from that if your funding is limited. Raise the capital for you to be able to put together a nice presentation or put together, you know, the marketing folders or whatever you want to do to get other people to invest. Now, here's another thing. Here's the third part. I always say this. If you want to start a business, if you have 10 great friends and you cannot get $1,000 from each one of those friends, which is $10,000 to invest in your business, I think you need to get a new set of friends. I know that sounds harsh, but we have to be connected to people that can not only help us move ahead, but we can bring ahead with us, because you have a vision for a business. They may have a vision to work, or they may have a business already, but they have money that they can invest in something else. So So make sure you have that sphere of influence, whether they can invest $500. If you just needed $5,000 to get marketing or presentation done, and they invest in your business. But you need to make certain that one of the three things happen. You have a group of friends that's willing to invest, and here is where you're going to test your friendship. Now, if you've been irresponsible with your finances, your friends and family will not invest because they know you. So now you go to the second group of individuals who are going to say, we'll invest, but because you have limited marketing or limited business skills, what we're going to do is that we're going to manage your product, your project and your product because you don't have the skill set. So then you lose control. But you have the other option to earn money plugging into another system to invest. So that's three different ways that you can start your business.
Thank you so much. You answered my next question when I was thinking about who do I invite as, like, a friend-wise onto the team. And I was very confused if I should invite my friends on because I was thinking I don't have a lot of money to, like, pay them a lot. So I thank you for answering my questions and taking the time out. Thank you, Ms. Tammy, for having me on the show, and Ms. Tika. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Okay. Great question. Great. You guys are waking up at the end of the show. So,
so
I'm going to
say they're waking up.
Yeah. The chat line. Okay, I just checked the chat line. We don't have any questions there. Okay, so the lines are open. We have come up on our hour for the show. So this is your last opportunity. If you have any comments or any last questions that you want to get in, please move forward with selecting the number one now. We'll give you a few seconds to do that, and if nothing happens, we'll just have you close up the show, Erica, with what you'd like to share. I know I had a text for someone to just have you give out the information on the Strength Finders test, but I did write that down from the last show, and I have Tom Rath. Is that right, R-A-T-H?
That's correct, Tom Rath, Strength Finders 2.0, yes.
Okay, is that an online test that you can take as well, or do they have to buy the book?
Well, here's the deal. I always tell people to buy the book because
having
something tangible in your hands, and there are these stickers that you apply to the front of your book, you can read in depth what your different strengths are in the book. So I think it's relevant, but it is an assessment that's taken online, but you have to get the code from the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that. And then if you would give out the information on your website, the book, how they can purchase the book. And I would be willing to donate, I guess I'll donate it to Stacy, our caller that just called. She mentioned that she didn't have one, so I would be willing to donate one for her.
Okay,
so
absolutely.
If you'll give out that information of how they can how our listeners that are on with us now and for those who will listen to the archive show, if you'll give out your web information and any other information that you want to give, particularly with the Texas area for those people who are near you that may want to start participating in some of the things that you do there, just any information that you think will be helpful.
Okay. My name is Erica A. Murray. My website is Erica A. Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, and Erica's E-R-I-C-A, so ericaamurray.com. And I want to say is I am an international business consultant, but if you are starting a business and you need assistance, if you go to my website and you want to buy a consulting hour from me, it's actually half price through my website, so I would implore you to this is a website. You can ask a question, if you will, about business, and I do answer questions, and I video blog those answers to the ones that I select. You can purchase my book from Amazon.com. It's also on Kindle for download. You can get it from my website, which is CEO to the Power of You, S-T-O to the Power of You.com. I think that's pretty much it. And here in the Houston area on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, I have an executive power networking that happens from 7 to 8:15. And then also I have on Wednesdays and Saturdays training on how to build sustainable marketing and distribution firms, and it's from 11 to 12:15 on Wednesdays and Saturdays also. And I'm always available for travel if you have a group of individuals and you guys want me to come talk, train, help, I'm definitely available for that wherever you are in the world. So once again, Tammy Teach, thank you so much for having me on the show. It is always my pleasure, my esteemed pleasure, and I'm so humbled that you guys will have me on your show again.
Well, thank you for joining us. I think Teek is having just a little bit of phone trouble, so that's why we've not heard much from her in this last few minutes. So with that being said, Erica, we cannot thank you enough. I know that your book just empowered me. You sent us the summary, and I remember just kind of soaking into the summary, thinking, this is the book. How much more can I get from the book? So, again, I challenge you all, and for those of you, you know, I have to say this, Teek and I do not receive any proceeds, so we're not trying to push a book on you for any monetary value to us. So we are just really into helping each other. And if you do nothing else, if you decide not, you know, to do any business of your own or step out on that level, then encourage people when they come to you. Encourage, if you do nothing else but pray for them, add them to your prayer list, and really mean it. So let's stop being so close-handed with one another and close-minded with one another. Because if it's not your choice, then push someone else along, because our young people need to see us doing this. Who knows what's in store for them coming forward. So, you know, help someone else that is going to into business for themselves, whether it's buying what they are selling or encouraging words or just simple prayer. So we want to just thank everyone. Again, Erica, we cannot say enough. We love having you on the Butterfly Evolution Show, and you have an open invitation for whatever platform you want to reach. Just always feel free that you can tell them you'll be on the air this night if you need to be. You have an open invitation with us. So thank you for tuning in with us, to all our callers. Again, to you, Erica, and on behalf of Teek and myself and the Butterfly Evolution Show, we just encourage you all to continue to move forward. And as Erica, what is your saying? Upward progression.
Forward mobility and upward progression. Upward progression and forward mobility. You have me all confused now. Forward progression, upward mobility. Whatever you do must be taking you forward and up. That's it.
That's it. So thank you all for tuning in. It's been a wonderful night. And if you miss anything and need to get any information from Teek and I, just please feel free to send us an email, either on Facebook or on the Blog Talk Radio email address. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And, Erica, thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.